Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on fairy tales when we come back. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, that Old Covenant contract negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai, you and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. Benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush said that what Americans wanted was jobs, jobs, jobs. But that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, or the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not measured in employment, and it's not measured in jobs, 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 and that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. It's not in public business, and it's certainly not in jobs, jobs, jobs. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I cash in on our inheritance and learn how to collect these benefits of the Old Covenant contract and to collect our benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's called property instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how to do just that, why don't you call for more information on our CD Homeschool for Adults and then order the free General Law CD package at the same time. Remember that four-hour commentary on the law in general, that's the place to start. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. Hey, we've been talking about this thing of fairy tales, religious fairy tales, evolutionary fairy tales. The war on drugs is a fairy tale. We want to protect the family farmer is a fairy tale. Jobs, jobs, jobs is a fairy tale. The strong dollar is a fairy tale. Peace, peace when there is no peace is a fairy tale. Inflation is 4.7%. That's a fairy tale. Unemployment is 5%. That's a fairy tale. Real unemployment is 13% here in this country. And the real inflation rate is 15%, on its way to 18% next year, or the year after. But there's another fairy tale running around over here, and that is corporations need to pay their fair share. And Hillary Clinton the other day said she wants to give us a gas tax holiday this summer. I don't know how she proposes to do that. She's not the president, and she cannot impose that upon anybody. It was first brought up, I think, by John McCain, the Republican candidate for president here in the United States, and he said, well, we ought to have a tax holiday. We ought to have the government, you know, just suspend the federal gas tax. No, that's 40 cents or, I don't know, 18 cents, I guess. And the only guy that had his head screwed on straight in that debate was Barack Obama. He said, that's just a fairy tale. He was right. Obama tells the truth once in a while. Well, they all tell the truth once in a while. They lie to us most of the time, but then they're telling us the truth once in a while and keep us confused all the time, keep us deceived all the time. But Hillary, she wants the corporations to pay for it. And that's what she said, live and direct. It was on television. Heard it with my own ear bowls. And she said, we want Exxon and the major corporations to pay that tax, to pay their fair share. And I thought about that for a minute, and I said, that woman is either one, totally out of touch with reality, or she's a damn liar. No one or the other. I don't know which. I don't want to impugn motives. I don't know if she's lying or if she's just dumb and doesn't know. Corporations don't pay tax. Let me repeat that. Corporations do not pay tax. There's no corporation ever chartered in the United States of America that's ever paid 1 cent in tax at any time, for any cause, for any reason, past, present, or future. And any concept that you might have that corporations pay taxes or that corporations should pay their fair share is BS. And I can't tell you what it really is, but I can tell you it's BS. And you can imagine the rest, can't you? Now, let me tell you a story here about these corporate taxes over here, because it's a common fairy tale here in America. And I imagine that you Australians and New Zealanders and Europeans, you must be sitting over there saying, well, the corporations need to pay the taxes. The corporations, they make all these big profits over here, and they need to pay their fair share. Well, that may be true. I wouldn't deny that. Corporations probably ought to be taxed. Corporations probably ought to pay their fair share. I don't know. I don't know if it's right or wrong or good or bad. I don't make these public policy decisions. I don't know. You tell me. I'm just a reporter. I'm just here to report to you that, well, the corporations, maybe they should pay tax, but they don't. And since they don't, then you do, and then you have to pay more. Now, somebody's paying these taxes, all right. No doubt about that. And we pay taxes in a number of ways. Some of us pay income tax, capital gain tax, excise taxes, luxury taxes. But we may pay gasoline taxes and property taxes. I mean, you know, those taxes on just about everything you can think of, save for rain. And that's coming to a city near you. Just be patient. We'll have a rain tax here one of these days. Maybe an air tax, breathing tax, you know, life tax, you know, I don't know. But the corporations over here, you know, they make a lot of pretext and pretense, and you know, about paying taxes. And I got to tell you a story about the Idaho Power Company. And the reason I want to bring up Idaho Power Company again is because I actually looked into the Idaho Power Company. I didn't look into General Motors and IBM and Bill Gates and Microsoft, you know, and Walmart. But I'm going to tell you right now that Walmart has never paid one dime's worth of income tax or any other form of tax. They haven't in the past, they aren't now, and they ain't going to in the future. Now, it is true, they write checks and they do send them in, but they're not paying the tax. There's somebody else that's paying the tax, and there's a fairy tale going on here, and there's a ruse going on here, so I thought I'd explain it to you. And I used to think corporations paid taxes. Hell, I was, you know, practicing communist till I was 37, institutionalized till I was 18. So I know what the institution is all about, and I know what communism is all about. I finally figured that one out. I just thought I'd reveal that to you. Well, anyway, one day I was in Idaho. I moved up to Idaho, and I picked up the Idaho Statesman one day. That was the local newspaper, and they were talking about the Idaho Power Company. And they had letters to the editors, and that there was a proposal in the state legislature in 1972 or 3, along there. And it said, we want to raise the taxes on Idaho Power Company. Well, Ray, I think it's their income tax, but I'm not positive, but I think it was their income tax. But they're going to raise the Idaho Power corporate tax or their income tax or some tax. And the legislature, you know, was debating it, and the Republicans and Democrats, you know, were arguing and fighting, and the governor was weighing in on it. And the Idaho Power Company, they took out a two-page ad right in the middle of the Idaho Statesman, two-page ad, $8,000 a page, $16,000 a week for about 2 or 3 months, every week, not every day, just once a week in the Sunday section of the Idaho Statesman. Here was this big ad over, and the ad said things like, you know, they're different every week, but, you know, things like, Idaho Power is a good neighbor. Idaho Power Company is paying its fair share. Why, in Shoshone County, Idaho Power Company represents 65% of all the taxes paid in that county. And I read the arguments from Idaho Power Company. And then, you know, I look over here at the editorial page, and I was reading the letters from the listeners and the readers and, you know, letter, and then the opinions of the newspaper, and legislators were weighing in on it. God, it just got to be big news in Idaho. The rest of you people probably couldn't find Idaho on a map with both hands at high noon with a road map, but it's a state here in the United States, out in the far west up in the Rocky Mountains. Pretty good-sized piece of real estate. There's not very many people live there. And Idaho Power Company is the biggest corporation in the state. It is the state public utility, the electric company. You know, the New York Edison, you know, is what they'd call it in New York. Well, it's called Idaho Power Company out there. So anyway, this argument went on for a long time, and then finally it came to a fruition. The legislature took a vote, and they decided to raise their taxes, and then the governor signed it, and then there was this big two-page ad, and it said, well, Idaho Power Company is a good neighbor. And Idaho Power Company has weighed in, and we gave you our opinion, and the people of Idaho have spoken through their representatives, and we'll sit down now and shut up, fold our hands, and pay the tax. That was about 1972, so I didn't think much about that, you know. I thought, well, you know, okay, that's democracy in action. I thought, wow, it's just like Mrs. Lowry told us it was going to be in the ninth grade civics class. Democracy really works. All right, so this went on, you know, for a few years, and about 1982 or 83 or 84, along in there, this issue came up again, and somebody said in the legislature, Idaho Power Company needs to pay its fair share. They need to pay their taxes like everybody else. And so I said to myself, well, where have I heard that before? And so I noticed every Sunday, I mean every single Sunday, never missed, two-page ads right in the middle of the newspaper. And it said, Idaho Power Company is a good neighbor, and we're paying our fair share, and you ought not to raise the taxes on Idaho Power Company. And in Shoshone County, we pay 65% of the taxes, and every week they had an argument. I mean, it was just exactly the same replay that I saw back in 1972. And the legislators were weighing in on it, and the governor was weighing in on it. Different governor, of course, but, you know, they're all getting excited. Jumping up and down, pawing the ground, biting the bushes, and doing all those things that politicians do, you know, in the democratic process. And some time went on, and then pretty soon came to its conclusion. And the legislature voted to raise their taxes, and Idaho Power Company put in this big two-page ad, and it said, well, the people have spoken through their representatives. It's democracy in action, and we'll sit down, shut up, fold our hands, do what we're told, and pay the tax, and God bless America, and that was the end of it. See, and I thought, what a bizarre replay of an event that I can remember from my own lifespan, or in my own lifespan, just 10 or 12 years ago. And so, you know, I was thumbing through the paper one day, reading the legal notices section. How many of you people, you know, when you get your paper every day, you whip it open and you turn to page 27, the legal notices section. First thing that you want to read in the newspaper is the legal notices, right? Well, I don't know about you, but when I pick up the paper, the first thing I read is the funny page. I turn to the comics. See? Then after I've read Beetle Bailey and Blondie, you know, and I've satiated my humor bone, then I start looking at the news and maybe the editorial page and then maybe the want ads, you know, and then maybe about the last thing, if there's nothing else to read and I'm bored and I don't know what else to do in life, and I look at this little fine print over here called the legal notices section of the paper, I might read a couple of them. Well, just so happened that I was thumbing through the paper bored one day and I happened to get to the legal notices section, and it was on page, you guessed it, 27, lower right-hand corner. Lower right-hand corner. And it had just a little blip down there. Just a blip. Maybe three, four, five lines. Not one of those real long ones, you know, where the party of the first part and the party of the second part covenant and agree to whip, you know, and give a legal description. No, it wasn't nothing like that. Just a little blip. Idaho Power Company petitioned the Idaho Public Utilities Commission for a rate increase. A rate increase. And since this argument over taxing Idaho Power had come into play, I caught my eyeball and I read the rest of it and said Idaho Power Company has petitioned the Public Utility Commission for a 3-point, and this is what really caught my eye, a 3.16497724386694.2% rate increase. Now, I exaggerate there a little bit. It was actually carried out to the third decimal place. It wasn't, you know, 19 numbers. It was 3.317 or something like that percent. That's what caught my eyeball. You know, I'm an old-timey businessman, and if I want to raise prices, I might raise prices by 3%. I never did. I always raised them 5%. You know, keep it even. You know what I mean? I wouldn't raise prices by 2%, 3%, or 4%. I'd raise them by 5%, 10%, 20%, 50%, but I wouldn't raise them 3%. But this ad said 3%. Now I could see a 3% increase. Big corporation wanting to hold prices down, thinking of their consumers, being good neighbors and all, wanting just 3%. You know, we don't need 4 or 5. No sense gouging people an extra percentage point or two. And then what really got it was carried out to the third decimal place. And I said, God, there's something wrong with that. I don't know what's wrong, but I just knew instinctively, there's something wrong. When you raise prices by 3%, that we can grasp. But when it's 3.159%, something's wrong there. Something's going on. I don't know what it is. So I brought that up at our weekly meeting. I told the fellas, you know, at Barrister's Inn, I said, did you see this? And I was so impressed, I cut it out. And I read it at our Tuesday meeting, and I said, what's that mean? Everybody looked at me with a blank stare like, what in the hell difference does it make? So, you know, everybody was unimpressed, and I kind of felt dumb, and so we went on with our meeting, and we finished up. And so I got to thinking more about that. So I went down to the law library, and I engaged this young fellow down there at the law library, and I wanted to find out more about Idaho Power Company. So he was a law librarian, but he was also a lawyer. And he graduated from law school, but he didn't go into law. He didn't open a practice or go to work as a lawyer. He went into the law library. And I went down there, and I said, I'd like to know more about Idaho Power Company and about their rate structures and taxes and one thing and another. What should I do? I didn't have a clue. And he said, well, they're a public utility, and they're registered. They have a charter with the Secretary of State, and that's Pete Santarusa. And you just go over here to the Secretary of State's office in the Capitol building and tell him what you want, and he'll give it to you. And here's what you're looking for. You're looking for the Idaho Power Company charter. Well, I said, well, thank you very much. And so I went up to Pete's office, and I said, hey, I want the Idaho Power Company charter. You got to pay for that. In those days, it was $5. So I paid a $5 fee, and they went and copied it. Well, here's what I found. Idaho Power Company was chartered back in 1908 or 1911. 1911, I think it was. And Idaho Power Company gets paid, and this is the way they make their money, they get paid 8% on their invested capital. 8% on their invested capital. And I kind of mulled that one around a little bit, and then I went to Ben Rice, and I said, invested capital, does this mean what I think it means? And yeah, and we looked it up in the dictionary, and we code-pled out the charter, and God, that charter is something else again. 8% on their invested capital. And so I got to looking at it, and then in the 3% and the 3.159% or whatever it was, three decimal places up. And here's what the answer to that riddle is. See, corporations don't pay tax. They don't pay tax. And the ruse is, this is what we call a fascist government. This is a fascist government. That's where the corporations run the government. the government policymakers, they do what the corporations tell them to. You know, in Italy, back in the World War II, we had this Italian fascist government. The Germans had this National Socialist government. Here in America, we have this democratic government. All of these are fascist governments. They're run by the business interests of the country. And Idaho Power Company is a business interest in Idaho. And so this is really revelatory. Get your pencil and paper out here, boys and girls, and let me explain this to you. Now, let's suppose, for the sake of our discussion here, that you're the purchasing agent for Idaho Power Company, and your job is to buy stuff. And as a purchasing agent, you know, you're a guy that calls on the phone, and when somebody comes in and says, we need power poles, well, then you go look up the power pole store, and then you go down to the power pole store to buy some power poles. Now, you know, logically, you'd want to get the best power poles for the least amount of money. That's what most of us do, trying to get the most for the least. And so you'd go to the Ajax Power Pole Company, and they've got power poles, you need 300 power poles, and they've got power poles for $300. And then you go over to the Acme Power Pole Company, and they got power poles for $150. See, Ajax 300, Acme 150. Now you're the buying agent for the power company. All right, you need 300 power poles. You get the order in here from the power pole crew, and they said, we need 300 power poles, and your job is to go out here and buy power poles. Now, whose power poles are you going to buy? Assuming that the quality is essentially the same, and they're all treated with creosote, and they're all the same size, and they're all the same quality, and one company has them for 300, and one company has them for 150. All right, boys and girls, you have 30 seconds to make up your mind and to give us your answer. 30 seconds. And so the music plays, and the little dingy goes ding, 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 you know. Okay, can you? All right, now, when we get to the end of this little test, if you said, we are going to buy the $150 power poles because they're half price and they're the same quality as the other power poles for $300, and if your answer is, we're going to buy the Acme power poles for $150, you are fired, dummy. You're out of here, nitwit. And you're sitting there saying, but I saved the company $150 a pole for 300 power poles. Why, I saved the company. I'll work this out for you, 150 times 300. Well, I saved the company $45,000. So the reason we're going to can you, you dummy, is because our profit comes from our invested capital. And when we buy these power poles, we buy them out of cash flow. So we're going to buy these from the ratepayers' cash flow money coming across the counter. And then we're going to collect 8% on 300 power poles. Now, see, if we've got 300 power poles times $300, that equals $90,000 times 0.08%, which is $7,200 a year forever. Well, or times 30 years, whichever comes first, which is $216,000. So what you're proposing here, dummy, is that you're going to save us $45,000 on the initial price and cost us $216,000 in profit, dummy. Hey, can you spell profit? Can you say profit, boys and girls? Now, you know, it's nothing personal. And if you've ever noticed these power companies and the telephone company, you know, these utilities, hell, they always drive new cars and new trucks. They can buy a new truck for $100,000 this year and go out and use it for 12 months. And at the end of 12 months, they trade it in, buy a new one. You ever notice that? Well, wake up and smell the coffee. How come they're doing that? Well, because that's the way they make their money. Just like defense contractors make their money on cost plus 10 and overruns. That's why you have $600 toilet seat and $300 screws and $450 hammers. You know, come on, it's nothing personal. You know, we're just here. Just business. Just business. Now, let's translate this out. You see, when the power company has a tax increase levied upon them, they are guaranteed by law in their charter that they're going to make 8% profit on their invested capital every year forever. Well, do they ever have good years in which they make 10% profit? Never. Never. Never does the Idaho Power Company make 10% in a year. They never have, don't now, and never will. Do they ever make 6%? Do they ever have a bad year in which they make 6% or 5%? No. No. Never. Never. Never has, doesn't now, never will. Idaho Power Company makes 8% per year on their invested capital. They did in the past, they are now, and they will forever. They will never make more, and they will never make less than 8%. It's because it's written into the charter. It's written in by law. So here's what happens. When the legislature raises Idaho Power Company's tax, well, then their 8% is going to drop to 7% or some other number. So the Idaho Power Company, by law, has a right to make 8%. And that's why they needed a rate increase of 3.23 decimals to make up for that amount of tax that the legislature had imposed upon them. See, the legislators, they're not dummies either. If they came to you people there and they said, we're going to raise your taxes by $5 a month, why, you people would go ballistic. You people would have kittens. Why, you'd go down and register to vote and vote that sucker out of office. You'd be so mad. So the politician, being wise as a serpent, he says, well, we want more money to spend here. And so what we got to do is we got to get the people behind this. So they come to you people and they propagandize you. They say, I know a power company, you know, is a big corporation making billions and billions of dollars. It kind of reminds me, do you know what Exxon made in the first quarter? Oh my God, they made $10 billion in the first quarter. Everybody gasps, like Judy Hartson, you know, gasps for air at the thought that ExxonMobil made $10 billion in profit. Oh my God, that's obscene. We need to raise their taxes so that Exxon pays their fair share. All right, so here's what happens, boys and girls. They go to the PUC and they say, look, we're entitled by law to this amount of profit, and so as a result of that, we got to have a rate increase. We're entitled to that as a matter of law. And the rate increase that we want is 3.159%, because that's the amount of the tax that's just been levied upon us, and that's going to bring our profit from 8% down to 7% or something less than that, and we want to bring it up to 8%. Now, if at any time during the year, accidentally, the Idaho Power Company makes 8.11755431% profit, do you know what they have to do? They got to calculate that out, divide it by the number of ratepayers, and send you a rebate check. They cannot make more than 8%. It's against the law. Okay, now you understand that Idaho Power Company does not pay tax. What they do is they collect the money from you, the tax money. But you don't call it a tax. You call it your bill or your rate that you pay. So they raised your electric rates by $5 a month, $60 a year, and then they turn around and pay that over to the state. And they call it the Idaho Power Company tax. Wasn't that just real special? What in the hell do you think Microsoft is doing when you raise their taxes? They just pass it on to you with a rate increase. And when they give you this rate increase, which I'm going to explain to you right after this message, I think you're all going to be just mad as hell. So don't go away. There's more to come when I tell you how we stick it to you from corporate America right after this. Now, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in 112 countries daily, worldwide, over the Internet and radio. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. And if you'd like more information about the Law School, the Law Hour, and the editorial review, please go to our website. It's at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about fairy tales, and tonight's fairy tale is about corporate profits and how corporations pay their fair share, and how Hillary Clinton wants to tax ExxonMobil for this summer's gasoline tax holiday. Now, God love her, I'm sure that Hillary means well, and she'd like to be president of the United States. And I wake up at night in a cold sweat. Sometimes I have nightmares about Hillary Clinton becoming president, and I scream in stark terror at the Clinton health care proposal and program. She's thinking about me, and she wants to give me national health care insurance. She wants everybody. She wants universal coverage. She wants George Gordon covered by health care insurance, and I don't want it. I know I'm stupid, and I'm dumb, and I'm a fool, and I'm out of touch with reality, and I wish you people would just leave me alone and let me suffer in agony all by myself over here in the corner, whimpering and cowering in the corner, terrified of Hillary's health care proposal. But anyway, I wake up at night sometimes screaming and yelling, and my wife tells me, wake up, you're having a flashback. It's a flashback. It's going to be all right. I'm having a flashback from George Bush's election in 2004. And then in a cold sweat, I wipe my brow. And then here it is, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm awake, gasping for air, and I light a cigarette, and I smoke to calm my nerves. And that's the bad part. I quit smoking 40 years ago. Now, that's Hillary, and she wants a gas tax holiday, and she wants to tax the corporations. I don't know if that girl is so spaced out. I don't know what she's smoking. But ExxonMobil ain't paid no taxes from day one, ain't paying none today, and ain't going to pay any in the future. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. When you start taxing ExxonMobil, you're headed for $6 a gallon gas. That's all that's going to happen. Because Exxon, they're not paying any taxes. They just pass that tax on to you. That's all. They just pass it on in a rate increase. Now, I'm going to tell you about this rate increase thing. See, the Idaho legislature decided that not only did Idaho Power Company need to pay their fair share, they said that the Atlantis Manufacturing Company needed to pay their fair share, too. And I was one of the stockholders in the Atlantis Manufacturing Company. I didn't own all the stock, but I had quite a chunk of it. And I was the CEO and, you know, the company president, chief bottle washer and salesman and truck driver and manufacturer designer, you know, in a little regional manufacturing company. And we had sales of about $1 million a year, $100,000 a month, as I recall, about $1 million a year. And we had 30 employees, and we're distributing furniture in 11 western states, and we're competing with Pennsylvania House and Broyhill and Ethan Allen and all the biggies in North Carolina, and God, things are just going along great. And one day, the Idaho legislature was meeting, and they said, George Gordon and the Atlantis Manufacturing Company and all the rest of the corporations in Idaho, they ain't paying their fair share, and so we're going to raise the corporate income tax by 5%. And I thought, oh, my God, they want the corporation to pay their fair share. Well, I was tuned into this, and I said to myself, why, those dirty, low-down capitalist pigs trying to tax us communist corporations. Why, if they think us communists are going to pay tax, now they got another guess coming. So, sure enough, the governor signed the bill, and there we were, stuck with this 5% income tax increase on corporations. It was a corporate income tax raise. And I see all you guys out there, all you government buffs, you political politicians, you know, and all you real smart voters out there saying, Gordon, even you admit you have to pay your corporate income taxes. So, you know, we here at the Atlantis Company sat down in executive session and said, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Well, the legislature wants to cut into our pie. And so we said, well, what we'll do is we'll raise our prices by 5%. That's what we did. We raised the prices on our product line by 5%. And that's because the Idaho legislature raised our taxes by 5%. How do you like that? Now, we're not pigs. I mean, you know, since the government raised our tax by 5%, we could have been real piggy about it, and we could have raised our prices by 6%. I thought about that. I said, don't you think we should raise our taxes by 6.159772774662172119%? You know, so that we get it right down to the gnat's whisker, so that our customers don't think that we're gouging them or taking advantage of them. And everybody on the board of directors looked at me, you know, like I was spaced out on good weed or something. And I said, well, okay, we'll drop that. In fact, the vote was, we'll just raise our prices by 5%. Because that's what the state raised our tax. Now, let me give you some numbers. Get your pencil and paper out here, children. Let's learn a lesson here about corporate taxes and corporate price increases. You see, we're going through a period of inflation here in America. Well, hell, all the rest of you people in the world are going through a period of inflation. And so the corporation that's selling you the big screen TV, selling you that new car, they've got to raise their prices little by little as time progresses along, don't they? I mean, they can't absorb these inflationary costs forever, can they? All right, so the Atlantis Company now is making about $1 million a year. We'll just round it off to $1 million, is really a little more than that, but I don't want to get off on these odd numbers. So let's take $1 million. So write down $1 million. That's 1000,000.00. That's $1 million. And put out a dollar sign there in front of that one. There's $1 million. Got that? All right, now right after that, gross sales. GROSS sales. Got that down, boys and girls? $1 million in gross sales. All right, now, we would net about 10% of that. You know, some years we might net 12%, some years 8%, but in general, year after year, we were netting about 10%. Okay, so now, the Atlantis Manufacturing Company Incorporated is netting approximately 10% profit. So under the $1 million, you put down 10, then put a percent sign, then draw a line under that, and then you multiply that 10 times 1 million, and make sure you get your decimal in the right spot, and that's 100,000. I'm going to give you the answer, because some of you kids went to public school, and you probably come up and put the decimal in the wrong place, and you'll have $10 million worth of profit on $1 million worth of sales at 10%, and that's because you got the decimal in the wrong spot again. Okay, and you need some remedial math. You know, you have to put you back in the fifth grade here. All right, so that's 100,000 bucks. Now, under ordinary circumstances, before the tax increase, we had to pay 5% of the $100,000. Now, we got $100,000 up in the Bank of Idaho, just sitting there doing nothing, you know, just kind of idling. Then I'm going, luddle, 100,000 bucks in the Bank of Idaho, just luddling along. And now it's income tax time, and we have to pay our 5% income tax. All right. So with that 100,000, you put down there times, that's an X, 0.05, and then draw a line under that, and That's $5,000. I've done the arithmetic for you, boys and girls, because I knew that you went to public school, been institutionalized, and couldn't work that out. So it's $5,000. So the answer is, on $1 million in sales, we have $100,000 worth of net profit, for which we pay 5% sales tax. So that's $5,000. All right. Now, as the chief executive officer and bottle washer of the Atlantis Company, it's my duty to write out the check. So Candy writes out the check, and then she brings it into me, puts it on the desk, and I cheerfully sign my name as the executive officer, George Gordon, on the signature line, and she takes the check, puts it in an envelope, and sends it off to the state of Idaho tax collector. And we all smile because we've done our civic duty and we've paid our taxes. All right, now, these clowns in the legislature have raised our taxes by 5%. Yeah, they raised our tax 5%, so now it's 5.05%. Or put another way, it's 0.505. Well, now how much is that? Well, if you multiplied 5.05 times 100,000, it would be $5,250. So the actual dollar amount that our tax has gone up is $250. So you write $250 under the 5,000, and that's 5,250. Now, last year, we made $100,000, and we paid 5% tax, and we wrote $5,000 check. Remember, $5,000, sent that off to Pete, and we netted $95,000 of mad money so that we can spend that money on wild women, cigarettes, whiskey, and Disneyland. All right, netted $95,000. All right, well, this year, we have to pay $5,250, so we're only going to net $94,750. So last year we made $95,000. This year we make $94,750, and I raised prices by 5%. All right, now what's the difference? Well, last year we made $1 million. Okay. Now I raised prices by 5%. So you put 0.05 down there, 0.05 times 1 million, and that's $50,000. Last year we took in $1 million. This year we take in $1,050,000. Okay, you write that down. That's a tricky one. That's 1,050,000.00. Now, we make 10% profit of our 1,050,000,00, and how much profit do we have? Okay, well, we've been making $100,000 profit. Our costs are essentially the same, although they do go up every year, but now we make $150,000. You follow that, boys and girls? Now, we have to pay 5.05% of $150,000. You starting to catch on here, children? You see, the state raised our taxes by 5%, and I raised our prices by 5%. So the state raised my tax by $250, and I raised my prices by $50,000. And Hillary Clinton says, we're going to pass this on to the oil companies. Oh, my God. Can you see why I wake up at night at 3 o'clock in the morning in a cold sweat in stark raving terror? That lunatic might actually believe that the ExxonMobil Corporation is going to pay that tax out of their profits. I got news for you, children. The Exxon Corporation ain't going to pay 5 cents in any tax out of their profits. Now wake up and smell the coffee. And what you're going to have here is higher gasoline prices. Oh, yes, true. The gas tax will go down by 17 cents, and the price of gasoline will go up by 34 cents. If it doesn't go up by $1.34. So if you think you're going to tax the ExxonMobil Corporation, or Atlantic Richfield, or Shell Oil, you believe in fairy tales. Which takes us back to Christmas and Easter and evolution, doesn't it? All right. There's your arithmetic lesson in business. That's your business story today. Corporations don't pay tax. They just collect it for their government. That's all. And if you want to know who's running the government, you know, all you voters out there, did you think that you were voting in the President of the United States and he's going to run the country? Well, you got your head at the wrong end again. The President and the United States government's run by the pharmaceutical industry, the auto industry, the oil industry. It's the big multinational corporate industries that run the United States of America. And Australia, and New Zealand, and Canada. And they tell the President, this is the way it's going to be. Now sit down and shut up. Pay attention. And the President does. And presidents that don't sit down, shut up, and do what they're told get shot. We just shoot them. Like John Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, James A. Garfield, and William McKinley. Those are four presidents that could not follow instructions. So they had to be replaced by somebody who could follow instructions. See how easy that is? Can you say assassination, boys and girls? All right. Now, there's a group of people called the Committee of 300, and they call the shots. And they tell the president this is what's going to be. Now, when the Bush administration took office, they had a big meeting. And then Dick Cheney, who used to run the Halliburton Company, had a big meeting with all the big oil executives. And they all sat down, they worked out what we're calling today oil policy. And we have that oil policy being implemented right now in front of your eyeballs. And it does not include ExxonMobil, Shell Oil, or BP Petroleum paying any taxes. It is true, they collect the tax at the pump. If it is true, they write the check. And it is true that they mail the check, postage prepaid, to the United States Treasury. But it's a fairy tale if you believe that the ExxonMobil Corporation is paying any tax out of their profits. And if you believe that, then you believe in Goldilocks and the Three Bears. All right, so now that we've got that little thing out of our system over there, I've got about 7 or 8 minutes left over here. Let's take another one over here. Oh, yeah, here's one. We are capitalists, not communists. Remember, I talked to you about that one the other day. We're talking about capitalists and communists. Do you remember that we're all practicing communists and that we're practicing all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto? You know, when you send your child to public school, when you get your little boy or your little girl ready for school in the morning, and you pack his little lunch, and you pack his books into his little backpack, and you help him strap it on his back, and you watch him out the window as he walks out to the bus stop, and he gets on the school bus, and he goes off to be institutionalized in the public school system. Did you know, Mother, that's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto? All right, just thought I'd share that one with you. And so here all you mothers of America are practicing the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto, and then you're voting for Hillary Clinton, the number one communist of the three running for president, and followed closely Barack Obama, and followed closely by number three, John McCain. Three communists running for president of the United States. How do I know they're three communists? Well, they all believe in, practice, and advocate the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for a heavy progressive income tax. And I haven't heard any of these presidential candidates yet say, let's abolish the Federal Reserve System, the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto, or let's repeal the third plank, the inheritance tax, or let's repeal the eighth plank, the Social Security System. I haven't heard any of that out of these presidential candidates. Have you? You had one non-communist running for president here this last go-around. His name is Ron Paul. I don't know how that guy keeps getting elected to office. He's a representative from Texas. And those people down there in that district over there, they must be nuts. They must be smoking. They must be smoking peyote. They keep electing this guy, Ron Paul. This guy wants to abolish the IRS, abolish the income tax, abolish the Federal Reserve System, and go back to gold and silver coin. I mean, this guy's a dinosaur that comes from the Dark Ages, doesn't he? And they keep voting this guy back into office. Time after time. He was a representative. He was in office for years and years, and then he retired. And then he came back and ran for office again, and these crazy lunatic fringers down here in his district voted him back again. You talk about a dinosaur in the Congress of the United States. I said there's 545 of these lunatic communists over here dictating our policy. I lied to you. There's only 544. It's true, there's 545 members, but you got one non-communist in there. How in the hell that guy got in there, I don't know. That's an aberration, to say the least. And then next week I'm going to talk about rationing. You know, we're talking about the Great Depression over here. We're talking about runaway inflation, one thing and another. And I'm going to talk to you about next week about rationing. God, that's quite a little story. We got rationing coming to a city near us very, very shortly. Corporations pay tax, gas tax, holiday over here. I just covered them. I'm going to circle those off. I'm looking for another story over here. I can tell you, I got 6 minutes to go and nothing to say. We're never going to have war here in the United States. Now, that's a fairy tale if I ever heard one. We've only had war in this country, here in the United States. We've only had war here twice. Do you know that? And we had a foreign army come in here twice. It was during the Revolutionary War. And actually, if you think about it, during the Revolutionary War, that wasn't a foreign army. That piece of real estate was owned by King George. He didn't cede it until 1783. He was just trying to protect his own interests. You know, he's just trying to keep these thieves from taking away from him what he already owned. Kind of like Pharaoh, who was just trying to protect his equitable interest in these 3.5 million slaves. And then there was a bunch of upstarts over here who wanted to ace him out of his property. And then he tried to get his property back in 1812. It's called the War of 1812. Went on for a couple of years. And he failed again. Now, most people think that the King of England's been thrown out of the United States of America and that the policies of the United States are uniquely our policies and don't have anything to do with Queen Elizabeth. I want to point out to you, did you know that Queen Elizabeth is one of the members of the Committee of 300? I made a report here on the Committee of 300. Go back in our archives and take a look and see if you can find some programs entitled the Committee of 300. I didn't identify all 300 members because it wouldn't make any difference to you. You wouldn't recognize a lot of their names anyway. But there's a lot of names on the Committee of 300 that you would recognize, and Queen Elizabeth is one of them. Yeah, she's one of them. Bill Gates isn't on the list. He's likely to become one of those on the list. But last time I looked, he was not on the list. So the concept that we have not had war in this country and we never will, I think, is a fairy tale. And I told you about peace, peace, when there is no peace. Well, listen, in three major prophets made this report, and they got a message from God. You know, this space alien guy I keep telling you about. I'm not talking about sweet Jesus or Buddha or Allah or somebody else. I'm talking about the space alien God. You know, the God that has Saturday Sabbath, you know, and has Feast of Tabernacles for a holiday instead of Christmas. Yeah, that's the God, that one there. Okay, that God there says that he didn't come here to bring peace on earth. He came here to bring war. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's in Matthew 10:34. You Christians, you can read this. It's okay. It's in the New Testament. See, I don't think you Christians read the New Testament. I think you Christians are over here busy reading, you know, Mad Magazine or something else. But in Matthew 10:34, here's Jesus. If you got a red-letter Bible, here it is, first-person quotation, right out of the boss's mouth, live and direct. He said, "Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I came to send war." Have you paid attention to how many wars are going on in the world today? Have you paid attention to how many wars have been going on over the past 100 years? I just thought I'd throw that one out there for you so that you can look at another fairy tale. That's right. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. And that's war. Think not that I've come to send peace. He went on, he said, "For I came to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be those of his own household. He that loves his father or mother more than me isn't worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me isn't worthy of me. He that takes not his cross and follows after me isn't worthy of me. And he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." You know, that guy thought that you ought to give up your life for him. Boy, you talk about a space alien nutcase. What? You mean Jesus expects us to die for him? And we'll mull that one over, boys and girls. Hey, I'm running out of time. I got to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard in more than 112 countries daily worldwide over the Internet and radio. For more information about the law school and the law hour, go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and all of these law hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Here, time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.